Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. For folks who are on the monastery mailing list, you'll know by now that the monastery is in close proximity to one of the wildfires that's burning currently in California. It began last Wednesday, and by Friday, the monastery was within the area that was under mandatory evacuation. And I'm happy to say that we're safe and sound back at home now, and they're making great strides towards having the fire contained, but it looks, at least for now, that the monastery is well outside the area that's in danger during the fire. So we're most grateful for that. And I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Christina, who happened to be here at the monastery as the fire was unfolding. And she's here to speak with us about her experience of being in practice as the whole thing unfolded. Welcome, Christina.
Hi, Jen.
Hey. So, you know, maybe we could just start there with you sort of speaking about your experience of being here and being in practice and practicing yourself as the events of the fire began to unfold.
Well, I think what I took away most from the whole experience was that it was just this grand modeling of knowing that all the information you ever need is available in the present moment.
Wow.
You know, and the interesting thing about being there to witness it and experience it was that it didn't feel the way, it didn't come with all the fanfare and feel the way I thought it would feel being in that that kind of situation in a practice environment. It just felt so natural, and that we would attend to whatever messages we were getting from the folks that were fighting the fire and, you know, whose job it was to keep everyone safe. And then we did what we had to do and turned right back to what we were working on in that moment, you know,
right
back to the
right.
project. And
yeah.
And it was just so natural. Yeah, no, it was just so natural. There wasn't, at least my experience was, there wasn't any fear. There wasn't any conversation about, you know, about what could happen, what might happen. There wasn't like this intense focus on planning. Instead, it was just, you know, what's arising right now? Let's attend to it. Great, we did that. Now let's attend to what's arising now.
It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah, you know, as you say that, Christina, it so clearly illustrates the difference, exactly as you started us with, the difference between living in the present moment and living in a story. You know, because it's in the present moment, as you said, we have all the information we need. And that fear, you know, anxiety, the what if, the planning, that all happens in a story.
Yep.
And then I just love your description of, okay, so cause it's not a burying your head in the sand, right? Well, okay, well, that's going on, but we don't need to. So the information comes, and whatever, and there's completely turning all of the attention to that information, looking at that piece of information, doing what makes sense to do with that piece of information. Once that's complete, turning attention back to the project at hand. And then if there was more information, turning back to the information. And at a certain point, it was time to interrupt the project and turn all of the attention to the evacuation. And that happened when it was time to happen.
Yes. Yet, as there were so many precious hours and moments that I could have missed, that I would not have been available to had I been worrying or in fear or, you know, in a story. And instead we got to have all those moments.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, whatever those moments are, we want to be there for them, right? I mean, I was really looking at that when we were pulling away from the monastery, and we could see the fire. You know, we mm-hmm. could actually physically see it, and there was quite a bit of smoke, and just that sense of what's happening now is we're leaving the monastery, and so we're all going to be safe. And losing the monastery wasn't happening in that moment. And there was mm-hmm. such a tremendous sense that if we got to losing the monastery, then we would be present to that moment. And,
right.
You know, so it's not a denial. It's not a, you know, often people will associate Zen with sort of a flatlining thing, which of course is not the case at all. So, but that in each moment when we're fully there for it, we get to have the experience of that moment instead of a story about that moment.
And you know, Jen, it's my experience of it is that it's the opposite of flatlining.
Yes.
When you're yes. present, even though it's not excitement or fanfare, at least not around this, you know, content.
Yeah.
You just know what to do. You just, like, there's no questioning. There's no conversation. You know, you're just
yeah.
alive and you're there for it. And it is
yeah.
so not the experience of flatlining, which is, which I've lived in my life, you know, that, you know, the conscious flatlining, so to speak. It's
right.
the opposite of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, as you said that, Christina, the fanfare and the excitement, those two words, those are good words because there's tons of celebration in the present moment. You know, there's tons of the image that dropped in, it's funny as you were saying that, is the when we've talked about before when the folks in Cantalomba in the project in Africa got new roofs and the celebration there was around that. But it wasn't mm-hmm. personal. It wasn't like my roof and sort of a giddy excitement. It was like a celebration of life. And so I just really heard that in what you were saying, that that with when we're here, when we're present, there's such a fullness to whatever experience that we're having. Instead of it getting siphoned off to ego in, you know, whether it's planning or worrying or fear or, you know, oh, goody, I get to have this for me, or whatever it is. We get to have the fullness of whatever life experience is here in the present moment.
Yeah. Yep.
So yeah, just a real getting to physically have that, walk through that experience and be, of course, we didn't plan it, right? I mean,
no.
You came there for a completely different project. And yet, what a workshop to have the gift of being in the middle of.
Yeah, really. Well, I want to say I treasure the experience, and it sounds awkward and strange in these circumstances, but, you know, because, yes, I've been practicing to have that moment, so to speak, you know,
yeah.
to be in
yeah.
in that situation and be able to
yeah.
be in that place. But also I was kind of carried along, you know, like
uh-huh.
it was a group project, you know,
yeah. Yeah.
performance
yeah.
or whatever you want
yeah.
to call it.
Yeah.
And
no, I think that's a great point. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, it,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just, as you were saying that, I was just seeing how it really was a an experience of Sangha that, you know, each person being present carries forward and it gives space for everyone else to be present and so on with that ripple effect.
Yes.
But also that, you know, where you say, you know, it can sound awkward that you treasure the experience, and yet I've heard so many people talk about, for example, being with someone that they love so much who's dying.
Mm-hmm.
And how, you know, and how much they treasure that, how meaningful that experience was. And again, it reminds me of, you know, being present to whatever's going on. That's the fullness of our life, really.
Yeah.
So whatever it is, you know, I mean, we have these sort of dualities of these are the good things that I want and these are the bad things that I don't want. But in fact, it's not true. You know, what, at least for me, what I see in my own practice is what I really want is just to have the ability to be here and to be present for all of it, because, of course, it's going to end the same way for all of us. There
right.
are some of us going in one direction and some are going in the other. We're all headed
right.
in the same way. So,
exactly.
So to have an idea that that's wrong or bad or to be avoided is no wonder that's suffering, because we are going there. You know, we're all
yes.
headed there. So can we, yes. I've heard a poet use the term before, can we grow younger to our death? So just
right.
that, you know, wanting to be here for all of it.
Yeah. And and I'm just really grateful, well, for so many things around this, but really, I guess, to life for having that experience where I got to see so clearly how it's modeled to be in the moment, and that life will inform as you're needed, as the information needs to be received.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
in between, there's so much more or so much else going on, if that makes sense. You know, so in the moments when we weren't having to evacuate, there was so much living to do, you know,
yes.
aside from, you know, attending to the fire. And so it was,
yes.
yeah, it was really great.
Yeah. yeah. Thank you for that. That was a beautiful way to end that. I feel like practice in general models that, and especially the guide that we're blessed to have in practice really models that so beautifully, that completely present to what needs to happen. But again, not pulled away, not, you know, there, as you, I love that. There's so much living to do, you know, in each moment. So not getting pulled off into a story of, oh, my gosh, you know, what's going to happen? And I can't possibly focus on what we were here to do today. And but just each moment is its own amazing, beautiful thing to be present to. And that is my experience, too, that the guide models that so beautifully for us. And how great, right? Because it would be confusing if we talk about one thing in practice and then something, quote, real, like a fire happens and something completely different actually happens. But in fact,
right.
what happens is that the guide practice is exactly practice in every moment, including the really real situations. So what a gift that is for all, you know, all areas of content of our life.
Yeah, we are so lucky.
We are. All right. Well, thanks, Christina, so much for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you, Jen.
Okay. Take good care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Christina. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. And it is a good afternoon, isn't it?
It's a fabulous afternoon.
Great. It's a gorgeous afternoon. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
I loved that conversation.
Yeah. It was, so people were kidding about it. Well, I'll tell you what people were kidding about. because there is no way that we, for a second, lost sight of the magnitude of what was happening for us and what's happening for people in other areas of California and other states
yeah.
and other parts of the world. And one of the things that people referred to often was how in touch it puts us with the kinds of things that people are going through all over the world all the time. You know, one moment you have your life and the way it is and what you're used to, and then the next moment it's gone. You know, we got very close to that. We were super fortunate that we weren't the ones who lost everything. A lot of people did have, so we were extremely grateful and very much aware of other people's circumstances. And it was suggested, Jen actually made a suggestion about how we might look at ways that we can be of assistance to others who were less fortunate than we in this particular circumstance. I kind of as we attempt to be all the time, you know, that when we hear about something that's happening around the world that we can perhaps make a difference with, we attempt to step in and do that, whether it's, you know, giving to an aid organization in a disaster or whatever is like that. If there's a way that we can assist, then we want to try to assist. And I started to tell you something about that a long time ago, and then I went off in all these directions. But
you
I guess
said
just
people were about something.
Oh yes, thank you, Michael. Thank you.
Sure.
Years ago, when we were first at the monastery, not first, because we did have a building, for people who have been there, what we call the hut now, was at first a platform where we meditated in good weather, and then we covered it in and put a roof on it, and it became where we meditated when the weather wasn't so good. And this was the time when we were living out of the big MASH army tents. One of them was a kitchen and a meditation hall, and anyway. So we had a sesshin, I think it was over Thanksgiving. And I mean, I've actually been in Georgia in a rain, and that was the only other time. It must be what people experience in a monsoon or something. I mean, we were just drowning. Just absolutely,
wow.
Just take a step somewhere and you're up, you know, practically to your knees in mud. And here
wow.
we are between tents and this hut. And so we did T-shirts. You know, I survived the Thanksgiving sesshin, and you know, with the big raindrops, and we were talking about, you know, I survived the 9/11 2015 evacuation because it was definitely action packed, and
yes,
and memorable, and of course, I'm fond of saying that for me. Anything that's memorable in life is worth having. You know, it's those days that just run together, and you sort of can't remember where you were or what was going on, but there are those memorable moments, and people just avoid them like the plague, and yet they are the most, memorable. That's the only word I can come up with. So,
yes.
Yeah. So it was definitely a big time, and we're very, very thankful. That everybody came through it, including all the animals. I was helping my neighbor get her animals rounded up, and one of them we lost three times because, of course, the animals are just in a panic. I'm
yes.
sure, you know, feeling the energy and also that you're going to put me in a car. No.
Right.
And then one neighbor, her cat was outside, and she, you know, they couldn't catch it, and they just had to leave it. And of course,
yeah.
we have two cats who live on the property who are, in essence, wild cats. And so
yes.
when you leave, you know, you're just thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, look who we're leaving behind. You know, is the bear going to make it? You know, because bears don't travel that fast. Maybe the deer could be ahead of the fire, the rabbits, that sort of thing. But, you know, we're even fond of the rattlesnakes and the mountain lions,
yes.
and you know, are those folks going to be there? And so, just the gratitude that comes with, in our little world, for right now, everybody is safe, and so no end to the thank yous for that.
Yes, yes, and that reminds me that today's talk and tell assignment is to be thankful. And so it's really
good
timing for
good
that.
Good timing for that, huh? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, Michael, can you get Jen back on the line? Is that possible at this point? I don't think we've ever asked for that
yes.
to happen.
Let me see. Yeah, I can. Hold on one sec.
Okay. Would you grab that girl while? Because
I
have something else. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Well, we have another in a very different direction, but something else to be extremely grateful for today, and I wanted Jen to be among the first to get the word, and that is that I got a call from somebody today who is going to match all of the donations that we receive for this year's Africa fundraiser.
Wow.
Yes, that is the appropriate and as far as I can tell, only response to that kind of information.
Wow.
That's
truly speechless.
Yes,
that is
a speechless moment. And in fact, I had heard this kind of casually before, and I said, well, now, you know, these campaigns are pretty big. So the question was, well, how much are you hoping to raise? Isn't it about $100,000? And I said, yeah, I think our goal is $108,000 this year. Now, I don't know what we'll actually get, so I just left it at that because I thought nobody's going to match that. And then the conversation today was, so it'll probably be a little more than that at this point. And I said, very possibly. And the response was, okay, well, let people know that whatever they donate during this this campaign will be matched. And the conversation went on a little there's no strings attached to it at all. It can be anything. It can be to expand the project that's there or to create an endowment that would make sure that past any of our lifetimes, if anything happened to us, or that the money would be there to continue the work. So that because of, Jen, you know this better than anybody, that the concern always is, but what if something did happen to us?
Right.
We don't want to just abandon these people at this point because they're doing really well, but they would not continue to do very well completely on their own at this point. And so always hoping that we would have enough money to go along for 2 or 3 years and make sure that there's a period of transition. Well, of course, this would go a long ways toward making sure that not only can we expand the project, which is Teresa's dream, but to guarantee that, I mean, guarantee, you know, we almost had a fire come through and take everything out. So what is the guarantee? But, you know, if things all, you know, the world economy doesn't collapse, then probably we will be able to support these people for a good long time.
Wow. We'll use another good news update to talk about it, Sherry, but I just have full body goosebumps because,
yes,
as you know, we're going into strategic planning soon, and I've been looking at it, and I realized we're suddenly in a place where we could use big money.
Uh-huh. Well,
that's amazing.
You know, I was talking to somebody about that. I can't remember where, but just recently, that for people who don't know, I'm sorry, I'm sure there are people waiting to talk, and we'll get there. Since the Zen Center started, I think in, you know, maybe say 1985 or 1986 or something like that, we have always received exactly the amount of money that we have needed, right? I mean, almost to the dollar. And which has always astounded anybody who sees our books. You know, it's like, it looks like a magic trick. And when we need more money, boom, it goes up. And when we don't need as much money, it drops. But it's always, you know, at the end of the year, it completely balances. So obviously you've been looking at a need for more funds, and here we are.
I hadn't even gotten to the asking part yet, so, or maybe we did.
Yeah. Well,
I think
asking is different than we usually think of asking. We assume asking means forming complete sentences in English and saying them out loud. But I think the intelligence that animates is a little more subtle than we are. And so it's just the need is there, which all comes from the same place, right? The need and the fulfillment is all coming from the same source. So,
wow,
kind of a circle complete. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
So anyway, I wanted you to be among the first to know, and that should alter your strategic planning a little.
Just a little. All right. Yeah. Well, have a fantastic show. Thank you for the news, Sherry.
All right. Thank you, Jen.
Bye.
Okay, Michael. I bet you have announcements for us, like announcements.
Well, I guess you every week. Yes, I do. So the new Walking with the Mentor group coaching beginning October 7th will help participants create a kind and compassionate walking program designed just for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so for information, visit sanghamarket.com.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Fun.
And Sequoia Seaborn, a monk and senior practitioner at the Zen Monastery Peace Center, will lead a workshop on art and the heart on September 19th in Los Altos, California.
Mm-hmm.
And this workshop will explore creating without goals and expression through the sheer joy of participation.
Love it.
Yes. And celebrate your commitment to living in this here now by participating in the High Five Challenge. That's five commitments a day. And joining us for the Bridge Walk in San Francisco on Saturday, October 3rd.
And just my own little reminder, because today is the 15th, and I do this every, twice a month. So if anybody else is on that kind of program, don't forget to go on the website and chalk up the commitments that you've kept. I can't remember. Somebody said we're maybe kind of halfway to our goal or almost halfway to our goal, and we're way past halfway of the campaign, I think. So if people could start chalking those up, it'd be great.
Yes, and that sounds like a great way to do it, on the 1st of the month and the 15th to check in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's an easy way to, it's easy multiplication for me. You know, for people who are not that good at math, that's it, yeah.
Yes. Reflective Listening Buddies offers connection with Sangha in a privileged environment and weekly support for conscious, compassionate awareness practice. And the next quarter begins October 15th.
Mm-hmm.
And for these and all other opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org.
Great.
And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, press *6 and then 1 to make a show. And a reminder to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. So here we go, Sherry.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
You're very welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Sung Ho calling.
Who is this?
Sung Ho.
Oh, Sung Ho. Hey.
Yeah, hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm really happy I got on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's really exciting. And I'm also very happy that you guys are back on the property.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oof. And, I don't realize it, but, just how much I receive on a daily basis. From the monastery and you guys. I don't think about these things, but so much I receive every day, regardless of whether I'm in a program or signed up for something. So I'm really mm-hmm. grateful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So how's your decision-making going?
That's what I actually am checking in with you today about.
I suspected as much. You want to fill people in just quickly on your project so people know what we're talking about?
Yes, that's good. So long story short, I moved to Cambridge, Massachusetts to attend this pre-medical program. And I was a pre-law before, and had graduated from a, you know, I was pretty much like people thought I was going to be a great lawyer and had all the stats to be a great lawyer. But then I realized, you know, I didn't want to, I couldn't see myself working a lawyer job and fighting people and suing people. I decided maybe that wasn't for me. And took several, like, I was lost in the conversation for several years, finally made the decision. And then once I got here, conditioning just completely hit. And the first day, I remember I was sitting in lecture, I really just wanted to give up. And, of course, there was, like, this pressure of, like, parental. Of course, there's a ton of parental pressure, like, oh, my God, like, what are people going to think? And you spend all this money, you quit your job, and now you're here and you don't want to do it. And there's just, like, yeah, there was this whole big back and forth about, like, what am I doing with my life? And so the advice that I was offered to me was, like, okay, let me just try it for a semester and see how conditioning is operating and not necessarily, like, say that, okay, I am committing to medical school or I'm going to commit to this, but just commit to it for a semester and see how conditioning operates. So anyway, so that was the whole gist of it. And, you know, it was very challenging. Even with that commitment, like, I was being tortured everywhere. Like, it did bring me a certain level of clarity and peace. Like, okay, I'm doing this. But it really just felt really scary and daunting, and also just this kind of gut-wrenching feeling that I wasn't being honest with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that this is something that, this is a conversation that I've been having probably since I was 9 or 10. Like, it was always like, I remember I was in school, like in fifth grade it must have been, and we had to write down, like, what do you want to do for your job? What's your dream occupation? And I remember thinking, okay, I'm going to either have to put down lawyer or doctor. And I remember, mm-hmm. I was like, should I put doctor? No. And it's really the...
And Sung-ho, you knew you had to do that because of your family, not because you had this big burning desire to be one of those professions.
Exactly. Exactly. Uh-huh. And not to say that, like, I'm not inspired by the medical profession. However, like, you know, so what ended up happening was that, so I'm taking class, and conditioning was saying all these things to me, like, because there was a part of me that always wanted to go to medical school and had kind of tried this thing already in my undergraduate years, but then I switched majors and then became a law major. But I was kind of attempting it, and the story behind it was like, oh, it's too hard. You're not really good at the sciences. You're much better off at that. So you can't go for what you really want. And I was like, okay, I have to do this test back because I want to know if that's true. And the reality is, what I'm seeing is that, okay, like, the sciences are challenging for anyone. It's not something that they make easy for anyone to go to medical school. Like, that's a given. However, it's not true that I'm incapable of doing it. Because, like, I those whole stories, like, I can't do, you can't do this, you're not good, smart enough, but I'm getting, like, every problem right. And nobody's telling me, like, wow, you're really behind. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's not coming from a real source.
Right. Right. Yeah, only from a voice in your head. And we know those voices are not the most trustworthy source of information. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and so I was taking chem and physics, and I realized that, you know, in some ways, like, the reality was, like, I probably wasn't as prepared for physics as I thought I was. However, if I really wanted to put the time into it, and because a lot of us were in the same boat, if I wanted to put the time into it and really, this is something that I really, really, really was confident that this is what I wanted, I would have succeeded in that course. But there was, like, some deep gut-wrenching feeling, like, no. that's not, it's not that I can't, it's not that I'm, it's not possible, it's just that I don't want to. And I remember at some point prior to my life, I had this feeling before, like, I just can't self-harm myself any longer. Like, I had to be honest with myself. And conditioning was like, oh, you're so weak. Like, you should stick with it. Like, everybody's, you know, everybody's karate chopping their way to the top anyway. Like, but I was like, I just can't do this. And I, like, it really, like, I had gotten to the point where I just, I had to be honest, and
may I at this juncture remind you of this thing that I'm sure it'll be familiar to you, but it's my favorite thing on this subject. First, we start out with I can't, right? And then we move to I won't. Okay, so I can't. Oh God, I can't. It's too much. I won't. Now I'm a rebellious teenager. Nope. Nope. I will not. And then we get to the grown-up, I choose not. Yeah, I could. Yeah? Yep. Yep. I choose not. Yeah. Which is, to me is what you're, is where you're headed, right?
I think so. And what was interesting with that, I remember I was like, okay, I have to, you know, there's some, I've like spoken about this with my Zen coach a lot. I was like, there's just somebody who's already kind of making a decision, and but there's always an idea of like what I should be doing. So I always feel like I'm suffering in that. But like here I am, like I'm trying to give this a fair shot, and I know that I can do it if I really wanted to, but I'm not. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, you know, obviously like, there's a part of it that just doesn't, you know, it's not for me. And I'm on Facebook, and then I hear that a friend of mine's husband had actually died in an accident. He was climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, and he had died. And and it just, we weren't particularly close, but it just all of a sudden hit me. And what was interesting about that guy was that he actually was a kind of like a motivational speaker on, and his whole thing was, you want to have the life that you want to build a career that you want, and that, you know, 80% of Americans hate their jobs. And
This is the only life you have.
Huh? Yeah.
This is the only life you have.
Yeah.
Which
and
comes to the same thing, right?
Right.
So do you want
to
go through your life hating it, or do you want to go through your life enjoying it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he inspired a lot of people, obviously, and he would always ask the question, like, what is something that you can't not do? Whether somebody paid you or it was your job, like, what do you want to wake up and actually do, and why not make that your job versus climbing a ladder and asking for more and going more and more, and not, you know, and that really spoke to me. And so I dropped physics, and I decided, okay, I'm going to stick with chem because, you know, it's not completely out of my question that I would want to go into the medical school route. That, of course, meant that I might be adding a year to my timeline. And and the conditioning was like, no, you can't do that because you're getting older. And I was like, okay, it's much more important for me to figure out what it is that I really want and what I should be doing in this moment. Because once I've seen that this is something that I want, like, nothing could have stopped me. So I decided.
For me, to me, being on the outside of your life and observing it like this, the most important thing about it is the process that you're going through. It has nothing to do, really, with whether you become a doctor or a lawyer or a firefighter, or it just doesn't. But to go through this process to clarify for yourself what is really valuable to you, how you want your life to be, right? Because 80% of Americans hate their jobs because they believe themselves to be trapped, they believe themselves to be victims to their own life. I do this thing because I have to do this thing because I don't have any choice about doing this thing. What you're looking at is I have every choice. I have every choice. Now, will there be consequences? Of course, there always are. But there are going to be consequences to just going headlong into something because you don't want to waste time or you've already committed so much or you moved across country or you've whatever it is. There's the regret that comes with just continuing on in that kind of, we could almost say, mindless way of, well, I have to because I should because I have to. And so the consequences that you might pay for stopping and really deciding what you want to do, if it takes you 5 years longer to get to the place where you want to be, isn't that better than never getting there?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm. Mm-hmm. I was really at the point, like, you know, if it takes me longer, but I can't live a life of living, meeting standards, and
should.
Yeah, and I have to allow myself at least some time. Even if it's just for the next 3 months, to figure out what it is that I actually really want for myself.
Yes. Yes.
Then to
exactly.
Then to try to get somewhere, thinking that it just didn't make any sense to me, and it's not like I'm not doing anything. I am taking. I'm still participating in the chem class and giving myself that option, but. It just felt right to drop that class because if I had taken up that class, then all of my time and energy would have been consumed in that, and then which wouldn't have been bad, but going into that without knowing clearly for myself what I wanted,
That's right. What's bad about it is doing something because you should. Because you have no choice about it. That's what's bad about it. Not the content,
right.
Not the class, not the anything. You take the class, you don't take the class, you know, whatever it is. But what kills your soul is making life decisions out of obligation, duty, and the obligations and duty, now, I'm all for responsibility, right? But obligations and this kind of duty that we're talking about, it's to conditioning, right? It's not to some higher calling or higher purpose or that's not what's going on. It's to the voices in your head that say, you have to do this because you have to do this because you should. That's just a way to wind up with a life that you don't want, no matter what you're doing, right? So you could decide that, nope, that's it. I want to become a physician. I'm going to do that. But if what's running your life is that conditioned program that tells you moment by moment by moment what you're doing wrong and what you should be doing instead, you're going to be miserable, even if it's absolutely the right career for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I think I know that I just don't want to, whatever I end up doing, I just can't come from that place anymore.
That's right. And so you are, I don't know if it's all religious people, but I'm pretty sure this is the case for Catholics, you are in a process of discernment, right? You are looking deeply. You are paying attention. You are examining everything before you, and you are opening yourself to the guidance, to the wisdom that comes from a deeper place than that voice in our head, right? And looking to the essence of you for the guidance that is going to direct you through the rest of your life. And that's when I say to me that's the importance of what you're doing now, that you are putting yourself in a position to get in touch with what will guide you beautifully through the rest of your life once you get into relationship with it and start giving that your attention instead of giving attention to the voices in your head. Yeah? So you'll have the guidance on this particular piece of content at this point in your life, and you'll have it throughout the rest of your life. You'll know how to look inward, how to turn to your heart, and just open yourself to the wisdom, the love, the compassion that animates you, and let that guide you through your life, knowing that as long as that's the case, you cannot possibly go wrong.
Mm.
Yeah. All right. Well, you keep us posted, okay? Because we're kind of invested in this now, right? We're participating in this journey, so we need to know how it's going.
Well,
all right.
The good thing about dropping my class is now that I'm free on Tuesday night, so I'll be able to.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Excellent. And just between us chickens, on another note, I'm going to email you about something we were talking about previously. Okay. So.
Okay, got it.
That's gonna be in the next couple of days, so you'll be hearing from me, all right?
All right, sounds good. Thank you, Sherry.
All right, take good care of yourself.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Thanks. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Sung Ho. That was an exciting conversation, Sherry. Very fun.
It was I like that point. Right? Because that we don't often have such a clear picture of what it's like to be in a place in your life where the most important thing that's going on is deepening the relationship with our essential nature. Right?
Yes.
The content is this and that and something else, and should I do this or should I get married? Should I stay single? Should we have kids? Should we not? Should we go to whatever it is?
Yes.
And we get very caught up in all of that kind of content of our lives, and to really be able to see clearly that, no, this is just about me learning to get in touch with what's guiding me and to deepen that relationship to the point where it's unquestioned. The clarity is there. And the guidance is unquestioned. It's very good.
Yes, yes. It's great work. Mm-hmm. It's great work.
Yeah, yeah.
And
all right.
We're going to hear from
somebody else.
Coach's program.
We have.
And
oh, all
right. Right.
Okay,
there.
Okay, good. All right. Thanks, Michael.
Sure.
This year's theme is training to live in this here now. In any training, having a personal trainer helps tremendously. We can think of Zen Awareness coaches as personal trainers. The coaches have been trained by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching with any number of life issues or awareness practice in general, with special emphasis on recording and listening. We hear from folks new to practice and old-timers alike that awareness coaching provides the extra support their heart desires. And since coaches donate a percentage of their fees to Living Compassion, having a coach also supports practice. To request a Zen Awareness Coach, visit sanghamarket.com. Go to Services, under All Categories. Click on the little monk at the bottom, and then follow the directions. We hope to hear from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we do have more callers here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Linda.
Well, hey, Linda. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm pretty good. I did not expect to be on.
But here you are.
But here I am, walking into a hotel room. So I've been doing good.
You're what?
I've been doing well.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah.
And you're on the road?
I am. Well, I work in a town that's about 2 hours away from my home. And I work 2 days in a row, I spend the night. So, yeah, so I'm spending the night.
You're camping out.
Yeah, camping out.
Oh, Montgomery. Wow. Big city. Yeah, the big city. You're
big
in the
city.
Big city.
I know. And I live in a tiny town, so it's exciting to be in the big city.
Right.
But anyway,
restaurants and all kinds of things. Yeah,
they actually have
stores and stuff. It's amazing. But anyway, so
I was just gonna, I guess when I was Sunday, on Sundays I don't have to be at a particular place. So I woke up in a really kind of not so great place, and I thought, well, I'm not gonna get out of bed until I feel better. And I listened to recordings until at some point I felt better, and I got up, and ever since then I felt great.
Oh, wow, that is beautiful.
I mean, I've done a lot of other stuff since then to maintain it, but that was what started it, you know. So,
wow.
But anyway.
Yeah, so conditioning, first of all, let me see if this fits for you. But conditioning, first of all, would say you got to stay in bed because you can't get up. You just feel awful.
Feel so horrible.
No.
Yeah.
You feel so horrible. You can't face the day. Then you say, that's a good idea. I'm going to stay in bed until I feel better. And you pull out the recorder, and the voices that would then be tempted to kick in with, no. You should
listen. Do something else. Yeah, do something.
Yeah, you need to get up and do things. You can't just lie around here in bed. That's not an okay way to. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
I love torturing it.
I know it hates it, doesn't it? So
yeah.
So that was a very good thing. And let's see what else is going on. You know, one of the things that if I can articulate this, one of the things that I've found that I do is dread the future, which I guess is a common thing. And so I started trying not to, the minute I feel that sort of dread, I'm like, nope, I'm only thinking about what I have to do right this second. Thinking about what's going to happen. Like, when I come here to work, I don't particularly love the job I have, and I used to dread it like the whole weekend before, and now I just refuse to think about it until I'm, you know, on the road or until I have to do something to get ready or whatever.
Till you get there and you're on the job and they expect you to do the job, say, that would be a good time to attend to
it. About it.
And in that way, you know, it really takes us into the next stage of practice, right? Christina and Jen were kind of talking about this earlier with the, or ours was with the forest fire, but also it could be with the job, where when we're actually only attending to what's going on, it's never that bad.
Right, true.
Right?
That's true. Right, because most of the time my job is not that bad. It's just every once in a while it can be extremely stressful. And I never know when it's going to be that way because it's up to whatever judge is there, whatever lawyer is there. It's sort of a moment-by-moment kind of thing. But you know, I worry about it's going to be one of those bad days. And then it'll turn out to be a great day. Like today was a good day. Yeah.
Yes. So. And when it is a really bad day, the voices say nothing to prepare you, right? In fact, it'd probably be the opposite. Oh, it should be a great day. The weather's fine.
Oh, yeah.
Everything, you know. Yeah. What's the matter with you that you're not feeling better because it's such a, and then it turns out to just be a real challenge.
Right. Somebody yells at you or whatever. First conflict. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's all good.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so
well
glad
that, say it again.
I missed the first part of the call, so I didn't catch what happened with the monster. But I know y'all are back, so I should have heard about that.
Yeah. And there's still smoke on the horizon, but we're in good shape. It's just our friends on the other side of the state now that are in the same place that we were in. So all of our firefighters have gone to them, and we're happy that we're in a good enough shape that they can go.
That is good. Wow.
Well, I love that tip. So somebody wakes up in the morning and they're hearing voices that say, that's a good idea. I'm just going to stay in bed until I feel better. Get out that recorder, turn it on, start listening, and pretty soon the energy changes and, ready to go.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Love it.
Yeah. So thank you, as always.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Great to hear from you. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Linda. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Zoe from New Jersey. I didn't expect to get on either.
Well, see, Michael's pulling a fast one on everybody. I don't know what he's doing over there. He's got that lottery thing going. All right. Well, how's Zoe in New Jersey?
Well, I'm really glad to hear that everyone's okay over there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
we're very fortunate.
Yeah, there's so many things that came up just listening to the call that I want to talk about. So, like the Africa Project news was really incredible.
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wanted to call with good news, and I was feeling some backlash from feeling so good. And
don't you love that? Don't you love that? Backlash from feeling good. Oh, Lord, conditioning. What would we do without you?
But I feel like this call has kind of put me back into that inspired place that I was, that the backlash was in reaction to. So I guess I'm really grateful for that.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's that there's something for us to learn from that, right? So there you are, you feel good, and then conditioning comes in to siphon that off, get you to feel bad, get you to turn your attention to something negative, and then you feel bad, and there goes the energy, and then something happens, you feel good again, and it's great, and then here comes the siphon hose getting hooked up, and now you feel bad, and now the energy is, you know, when we catch on to that, first of all, we don't need to take it so seriously. But second, we also get that we don't have to give our attention to that. We don't have to go along with the siphoning the energy out, right? We can just, you could just turn your attention to the Africa Project or turn your attention to, yeah, but isn't it great that we still have a monastery? Or you could turn your attention to any number of great things that are happening in your life or around you or that sort of thing, and just keep the energy for yourself.
Yeah, I think a lot of it was just getting really unconscious and not seeing how that siphon hose gets attached.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not even realizing until I'm already completely kind of like, wow, okay,
drained.
I'm here. Yeah. Let's see. I know I took some pretty concrete steps to. So I was actually telling Ashwini, I gave her an update at the Harrisburg workshop about how I sent my sister a request to sponsor my High Five Challenge, which is really like new for me, and that's big for me because I had a lot of resistance to anything of that nature. And you know, the response that I got was extremely positive. And so it was really wonderful, and I was living in that, just inspired and keeping commitments and just feeling what the power of that and just seeing, you know, and yeah, so then of course, you know, there was a lot added on to try to sabotage all of that progress and feeling wonderful. But and like I said, I think, you know, also you saying stay close, I thought, you know, I want to call in and just give my little update.
Yes.
And this is good.
Yes.
Because this is me turning my attention to all those wonderful things that are going on. So.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. I hope everybody heard that. That's, you're exactly right. That's exactly why I say stay close. Because when we stay connected with Sangha, when we stay connected with practice, we're connected with ourselves, we're connected with life. And it's only when we don't do that, that conditioning can drag us off into a cave somewhere and have its way with us, right? But as long as we... keep holding hands, then it doesn't have the chance to do that. So it's really important. And if the voices would say, well, you don't have anything to say.
Well,
nothing going on. Well, that's not the point. Right? There's always something. There's always something because we're practicing, because it's life, because there's something going on. Always, always. Is it earth-shaking? Probably not most of the time. But that's not the point. The point is staying connected.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's very fun to hear about your sister.
I know. It's so wonderful because it just, I don't know, I was waiting for life. Like, I put that intention out there of, like, this is what I want to do, and I just couldn't see, I couldn't, you know, I just wasn't, I couldn't see it, and then it just sort of, like, dropped into place so naturally, and I was like, oh, this is perfect, you know. Mm-hmm. But what I was going to say was, about what you just said that came up, was that, you know, it was like, oh, you keep calling in so suffering and, like, identified. You can't do that. Like, you have to wait until you have good news to call in about. And it's not true either because, you know, I, like I said, I've been kind of in a, like, you know, getting a little hypnotized this week. And, you know, all it took was calling in and hearing all this wonderful good news and being connected. So
yeah, you know what's funny to me about that, Lori, is that I hear from people that the voices say to them, now you can't call in unless you have a problem to discuss.
right?
There's
right.
nothing really wrong right now, and you have to have a problem or a big, deep question to ask, right? So there mm-hmm. you are. You know, you're doing, you're, you know, no, you can't call in when you're feeling good. You can't call in when you are feeling bad. You can't call in when you don't have problems, and you can't call in when you do have problems.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we can know that the bottom line for conditioning is you can't call in. Right? So
just
we
don't.
Might as well just call
don't
in
it.
Because it's never going to give us a green light, right?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Good. Oh, thank you. Take care.
You too.
We'll talk soon, I hope. Okay.
Yes.
Good night, Zoe.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Zoe. And Sherry, I think we have time for another caller here.
Good. Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Beth.
Beth, how you doing?
So I thought this would be a good opportunity to talk about attachment.
Attachment,
I thought you might,
okay.
Yeah, I thought you might have some interesting insights in that, having just had to walk away from everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is a huge issue for me, being a hoarder.
Uh-huh.
To walk away from everything and, you know, having lost everything, so having known where my story comes from, I'm way down the road on that. You can walk in my house. You can show up at my door anytime, and you can come in my house. That's huge.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, and because before you couldn't, because I think I missed a beat there.
Well, no, it's just hoarders, you know, just, you know, one of the first things you do is you just don't have people over. You don't want anybody
uh-huh.
to see them.
Uh-huh, to know what's going on in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it you know, attachment, it's killing me. You know, it's literally killing me. But I need that, you know, place. I need that nest. I need that, you know, there's still a part of me that just really wants to anchor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what I always say at moments like this? I suspect it's not a part of you. I suspect it's a part of you like a virus is a part of you. Right?
Yes.
Very so these blanket. Things. Yeah. Well, the and you know, it's conditioning, right? It's ego. Because that's something that. Well,
yeah.
And it's something that you will struggle with, right?
Yeah.
It's something. It's a story that you will believe when it tells you that you'll believe it. You'll go along with it.
Yes, but there's also, you know, Wayne Dyer said it best. You know, he cut his pockets out of his coat because, you know, he couldn't take anything with him.
Right. Yeah.
And
that just,
you know,
that just happened, didn't it?
Well, in those moments, you look around. I had to walk away with just a suitcase and then leave the suitcase behind when I was 13. I have a story about what you just went through and in those moments of leaving the monastery. And
well, shall I tell you my version of it? So I've actually done that a few times in my life. So when it came time for us to go, I went back to my place and I walked through the door and I looked around at what I wanted to take with me. It probably took 15 minutes to round it up,
yeah,
and put it in my car, and that was that. And I was kidding with somebody afterwards about it was Hotai off of my porch. It was the sculpture of the Buddha that a friend had done for me. You know, it's the bell that I've carried with me all the time.
Yeah.
And aside from that, it's like, okay. You know, I love the house? I love it. I love it.
I do.
My dream house. I designed it and built it and, well, not, you know, I didn't build it all by myself, but you know what I mean. And,
yeah.
But, you know, it's there'll be another one. There's always something else to love.
Yeah. And which, as a six, that leap of faith is what traps me each and every time.
Yes. And you know, because you know that, Beth, you know you've got to leap. You've got to leap. You just got to. Because that's the only way we can prove to ourselves that we can do it.
Finding that part of myself that is unthinkable. I'm just thinking in the dining hall where, you know, I'm seeking out people who are going to help me risk myself again and yet again.
Yeah. So, you know, it's we were kidding, actually, when we stopped to eat on the way down as we were leaving. And people started through that. Oh, I was bad. I told them that I had managed to get a sweatshirt out that we made at the Zen Center to commemorate the 40th anniversary of dropping the bombs on Japan. I've worn it, you know, every winter since then. And then it started. And the look on people's faces, oh no. And then we started remembering, and then it was just like, oh well, it'll either be there or it won't. Because, you know, what's going on now.
It's not, yeah, kind of that spiral.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow,
and you know, truly, Beth, truly, call the Salvation Army or, you know, whoever
yeah.
they are, where you live, tell them to bring a truck. The door is open. Just come in, take it, and that's that. You know, get your. You know, your things that you need, your cup, your dish, your fork, knife and spoon, a napkin, sheets, a pillow, right? And have them take it and prove to yourself that you're fine.
Like a gorilla.
Yeah, you're fine. You're fine.
That's the path I'm on. And I have to say, You know, I'm
fighting
it tooth and nail.
Conditioning is fighting it tooth and nail. Not you. You're the one. Remember, you're the one who wants to be free.
I'm the one that wants to be free.
Yeah. Conditioning doesn't want you to be free. Ego doesn't want you to let go. Right?
Yes, I'm the one that wants to be free.
Mm-hmm.
Just real quickly, in Harrisburg, you asked me if I had spoken of silence, and I said, no, I spoke of refuge.
Wait. Say that again.
Just real briefly, I want to nod to silence. I want to kind of just, you know, one of my greatest teachers is just even turning the electricity off, because there is no real silence. It's never really quiet. Living on a moving planet, it's just never quiet. But
except in our minds and hearts.
Yeah. But then you start hearing what they're saying, and they're not nice. They're not kind. And then it's in the silence that was a great gift I got from the monastery.
Yeah. Yes. Well, and again, right, it must have been going on for you. Because, of course, a lot of people come to the monastery and it's the noisiest place they've ever been. Right?
Because
their heads are going crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They say that kids only spend less than 10 seconds a day in silence because, you know, they can turn on the music right away. You go everywhere you go, there's music, noise.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not having a TV and that kind of stuff. At this point,
We just learned the other day. We just learned the other day that human beings now have officially have an attention span shorter than a goldfish.
I believe it. I feel it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe that.
Mhm.
Yeah. But in Harrisburg, you'd ask me if I was speaking of silence, and I said no. But in reality, yes. I speak of silence. So now I can check that off my list.
And now you're going to, now all you need to do is make that call to the Salvation Army, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm either going to or the universe is going to do it for me.
That's the God's truth, isn't it? But you know, I said something a minute ago that I really liked, Beth, that I want to repeat it for both of us, okay? When you let stuff go, it opens up a space to love more, to love new. And the, you know, when it's things we let go of, then we get to open up to love new things. But it's really just an opening for more.
Mm.
When we're clinging, we can't actually receive. It's the old thing, you know, the old image of the person whose fists are closed, right? That you can't receive anything if you're clinging to what's already here. And so when we open up and let it go, then more can come in and more can pass through us. And so instead of experiencing the same things over and over and over and over, because that's what we're clinging to and that's the only thing that we're open to, the only thing that we let into our lives, as we open up more and we can receive more, there's more new. I don't know if I'm saying that very clearly, but
happens, and it's like in giving up, you know, the things that my color, more color can come.
Yes. Yeah, everything is new and brighter. And you know, we know it's an illusion that we own anything anyway, that anything belongs to us. My God, it's such a it's such a silly illusion, especially if people.
It's a pivotal one, yeah. It's like a splinter.
People in the Western world, you know, you go down and you file your deed, and everybody says, yeah, that land is yours, and that, you know, well, of course it's not. And so if we practice that, then we kind of get into the Thoreau place of, everything is yours. you can enjoy any, you see a house and it's a beautiful house and you love that house and you can be really happy for the people who live in it, happy that you get to enjoy it, happy that you don't have to clean it, happy that you don't have to pay taxes.
Well, actually, but I do get to clean it.
Oh, that's true with you.
I enjoy, I have 25 houses that I enjoy.
Uh-huh. And get to take care of, but they pay the taxes and they have to fix the roof.
I get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I get the enormity in the debt that this goes in me.
Yeah.
I'm still going to cry.
Yeah. Okay. That's all right.
Yeah. I lost track of time completely, but I'm pretty
all
sure
right.
we're over.
I think we are, but I've enjoyed it, so I have no regrets.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Beth. All right. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth, and thank you, everyone, for a great open air.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, it was great.
Appreciate
it. Yeah.
Talk to
too.
You soon.
Okay. Thank you, Sherry.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye.
Good night.
Good night.